Last week when we started Psalm 119, we saw that there are 9 words in the psalm that refer to the Bible, the Word of God. And 8 of those 9 occurred in the first 11 verses. We went through 16 verses last week, and then one occurs in verse 57, words or sayings or utterances there. And so 9 different words for the Word of God. And we saw last week that every one of the 176 verses in this psalm have a reference to the Word of God, except for 3. Only 3 verses do not have one of these 9 words in it, because the entire psalm is about the Word of God. And that's why we sang those songs about God's Word this evening. Last week, I shared with you how that this is a poem. There are 22 stanzas, because in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. And we have 8 stanzas, or 8 verses in each stanza. So last week, we looked at 16 verses, the first 2 stanzas, and tonight we're going to look at 2 more. We may not do just 2 each night, but wanted to make sure I didn't go too long tonight, because I want to kind of finish in time, have time for fellowship afterwards. And so last week we looked at Aleph and Beth, the first 2 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And tonight we're going to look at Gimel and Daleth, the next 2 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And remember that the first 8 verses, every verse in the Hebrew Bible begins with Aleph. It's not the first word in our English Bible, because when they translate it, sometimes a different word is used to start it off. And so the poetry is just amazing, isn't it? And how everyone, and so tonight, whenever we look at that, I'm going to do something I didn't do last Sunday night. I'm going to put the Hebrew word up there with the first word of each verse, so you can see that as well. Just an amazing study. Those 3 verses, if you want to make note of those, if you didn't get them last week, that do not refer to the Word of God, verse 90, 122, and 132, and we'll look at those verses when we get there, but those are only 3 of the 176 verses that don't make a reference to the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the life that is ours through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we thank you for all the things we learn of you in your Word. As we look at these 2 stanzas of this beautiful poem tonight, Lord, we recognize that this is inspired. The Holy Spirit has given these words to the author. And Father, we pray that you would help us to receive it, not just as a beautiful poem penned by man, but indeed the very inspired Word of God given by our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at stanza 3 and we come to verse 17, he says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant." And "deal bountifully" is first in our Bible, and it is also first in the Hebrew Bible. And you see the Hebrew word gamal there, not too different than the actual letter of the Hebrew Bible. And this word, "deal bountifully," means to recompense with a benevolent reward. And so he makes this request. He says, "Deal bountifully with me. Be benevolent to me. Recompense thy servant." You know, as we serve the Lord, he does, doesn't he? He does recompense. He does deal bountifully with us. He gives us more than we deserve. But whenever we serve him, he is always faithful to give to us. In Proverbs chapter 11, it says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." This verse, of course, teaches us if we don't show mercy, we're being cruel. God has been merciful to us. And so, therefore, we need to be merciful to others. But that word "doeth good" that I've underlined is the Hebrew word gamal. It's translated "deal bountifully" in Psalm 119. It's translated "doeth good." And so the merciful man deals bountiful. And so mercy is just bounteous. Aren't you thankful that God shows mercy to us? And that's what the psalmist is saying. God, I need your mercy. Give it to me plenteously there. In Isaiah, that same Hebrew word, gamal, is translated bestowed, to deal bountifully. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all the Lord hath dealt bountifully on us. He's bestowed on us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, he has done good. He's dealt bountifully. And notice the loving kindness of God is in connection with this. We see that verse ends in loving kindness, and it starts off with, I will mention the loving kindness. When God deals bountifully with us, he's giving us his loving kindness. He's giving us his mercy. And in verse 17, it says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. God gives us mercy. He gives us his loving kindness so that we can live. And God wants us to live in his word and by his word. And that's what the psalmist says. Give me life that I can keep your word. And whenever we keep God's word as his servant, he will indeed deal bountifully with us. Now we go to verse 18. And he says, open thou mine eyes. Open is first in our Bible. It is also first in the Hebrew Bible. And here he says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Behold, that is the idea of focusing, turning our eyes away from everything else and focusing on the wondrous things that come out of God's law. Look, if you will, down to verse 37. Getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but I want you to see the wondrous things and wondrous works. He says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. He says, turn my eyes away from vanity. But over here in verse 18, he says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so we have God's word. It's like if you ever used a pair of binoculars, and you have those binoculars and you're looking at something at a distance and you have your little focus on there and you turn that thing just right until you have it in perfect focus so you can see it. And that's the idea of this word. He says, God, focus my eyes, adjust my eyes so that I am looking at your word and I'm seeing all the wondrous things that you have for us here recorded in your word. Then in verse 19, it says, I am a stranger. Stranger is the first word in the Hebrew Bible, and the Hebrew word is G-E-Y-R there. And so each one of these verses is starting with the Hebrew letter gamal. How many of you have in your Bible that you have with you after each eight verses, you have one of these Hebrew letters in your Bible written in there? Several of you do. You see that in there, and you may have known that's what those were for. Maybe you've seen them there, and you've wondered what they're for. And so each one of these verses starts with gamal. And verse 19, he says, I'm a stranger. I'm just a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim just passing through. And so he says, hide not your commandments from me. Don't conceal them. That is the opposite of what he just asked in the previous verse. Open my eyes. Don't conceal your words to me. I want to see your word. I want to know your word. I want to live your word and reveal it to me. As a stranger, as we are through this world, we don't take anything with us, do we? We come into this world with nothing. We leave with nothing. But God has given his word, and we have it while we're here. His word is eternal, and we'll have it in heaven. It may not be in paper like this. I don't know what it'll be like, but his word's eternal. It's going to be there, and we're going to have God's word forever and ever. Verse 20, we see the next verse. He says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments. And the word judgments is the word for the Bible in this verse. And breaketh is the Hebrew word, and it means to crush are just waste away. And he says, my soul is crushed. It breaks away for the longing it has to your judgments at all times there. He has this intense hunger and desire to know God's word. Do you have that hunger and desire to know God's word? We can answer that question very easily without trying to jump to conclusions. The answer is known by how much time do I spend in it. If I really hunger for it, I'm going to make it a part of my everyday life there. And that's what the psalmist said here. It just, I'll waste away. I have such a great desire for your word. Verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. The word commandments is the word for the Bible here. And the Hebrew word that starts with G here is rebuked. Sharp criticism that comes there, correction. And sometimes we need it, don't we? Just as a child needs rebuke and correction, we also need it. And it comes from God's word. And he says, you have rebuked the proud, and the proud people are cursed people. That is, they're bound with a spell. The arrogant person, the proud person before God, God has marked them with a curse. God hates pride, doesn't he? God likes for us to humble ourselves, as we saw this morning, and like Jesus, who was meek and lowly in spirit, we also must be humble and not full of pride to come to the Lord. And so the psalmist says, you've rebuked the proud, and God's commandments help us for those who err, that go astray from his commandments. Now verse 22, it's a wonderful word here. He says, remove. This Hebrew word means to roll it off. He says, roll off from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. In Psalm 37:5, this word, galal, Hebrew word, is translated commit. In the verse it says, commit your way to the Lord. That means roll your way over onto the Lord. We saw this morning that we're to take our burdens and our cares and roll them over on the Lord, because he cares for us. Trust in him. He'll bring it to pass. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit or remove, roll your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Do you know, to a certain degree, we can control what we think? And that's what it says here in this verse, that if we commit our works, if we're working for the Lord, and we have this saying that's not scripture, but idle mind and idle hands, the devil's workshop. But whenever we are working, doing the works of the Lord, it helps us to control our thoughts as well. Now we come to the next, and it's a little small word, and I think I already have it up here. The word also, G-A-M, verse 23. He says, also princes did sit and speak against me. And so get the idea of a ruler, of a prince. He's sitting in his place of authority, and he is looking down on the psalmist, and he's sitting with authority, and he's speaking against and bringing judgment against them because he's going to sit and speak. And what do we do? He said in verse 23, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. The word meditate in the Hebrew is an interesting word. It can actually mean to complain. When it's used in a negative sense, it's translated complain. And when it was used in a positive sense, it's translated meditate. Whenever we go to the Lord with our complaints and we are meditating on God's word and reminding God of his promises in his word, it's not so much a complaint, but it's a meditation. And whenever we have princes or anyone else speaking against us, we need to meditate on God's word his statutes, as they're called here in verse 23. And the psalmist closes out this stanza with the same word. It's the word also. Sometimes in your Bible, you'll see in the King James the word moreover. And it's the same Hebrew word. And so there's something else about this, he says. Also, I'm not finished yet. Thy testimonies are my delight. Where's your delight found? The psalmist says, I find my delight in God's word. God's word is my comfort. God's word is my strength. God's word is what I need when people are sitting and speaking against me. And God's word, verse 24 says, are my counselors. Do you need an advisor? Our president has advisors. We all have advisors. Oftentimes we go to counselors for Christian counseling. Whatever did people do in the Old Testament when they didn't have James Dobson's books? How in the world were they able to raise their children without those books? You know, how in the world could they handle things without Christian psychologists everywhere to turn to? They turn to the Scripture. And we have the Scripture. And God's testimonies can be our delight. God's Word is our advisor. When we need advice, when we need counsel, it's in God's Word. We read it and study it, and God will reveal those golden nuggets to us that will help us in our lives. It's not bad to read James Dobson and other psychologists. That's okay. You can do that. Don't do it instead of God's Word. Do it in addition to God's Word, because God's Word is our counselor. Moreover, also, it is a wonderful counselor for us. Stanza four is the Hebrew letter Daleth, like our letter D. And the first one is in verse 25. He says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Cleaving to the dust. Kind of reminds you of Adam, doesn't it? He was made from the dust. Notice what the rest of the verse says. Quicken me according to thy word. Quicken means to make alive. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Quicken, to make alive. And so he's asking God to make him alive, to quicken him. Here in this verse, we have the word quicken, and we see 9 times altogether the word quicken. Last week, I told you that phrase, teach me, is 9 times in the Bible, in Psalm 119, I mean. Teach me. So 9 times he says, teach me. 9 times he says, quicken me. And there are 9 different words for Bible. I don't know if God planned it that way, or if most of you know that I'm kind of fascinated with numbers. I remember numbers a lot better than I remember names there. But numbers are intriguing to me. 9 times he says, quicken me. And we'll look at those verses as we get there. When it says quicken me, not tonight, we'll save them. But if you want to make a note of all the times it says quicken me, as I shared with you last week, all the times it says teach me. Teach me. I want to know your word. Quicken me. Make me alive through your word. God teaches us. God directs us. He gives us life. The Bible talks about the quick and the dead. Those that are alive there. Somebody said those are the kind of two people in New York City, the quick and the dead, you know. You got to be quick or you're dead there. And so here we cleave, we cling to God's word, and he gives us life through it. The next word is Derek, Hebrew word. If you know anybody named Derek who spells it this way, in Hebrew it means a path or a journey. And verse 26, he says, I have declared my ways, and ways is first in Hebrew, and thou heardest me. Teach me, there's that phrase again, thy statutes there. I have repeated, I have recounted, I have numbered, that's what declared means, and I've heard that you have heard me. I've said them over and over again, teach me thy statutes. Our paths may not always be his paths, but he will teach us where to walk. He'll teach us how to walk according to his word. When we declare his ways, then he will teach us to walk in them. Verse 27, he starts the verse with the same word. He starts it with Derek. Understanding there, you'll see in this verse 27. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Notice what he asked in the previous verse. He says, I'll declare your ways. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me to walk in your way, and then I'll understand it. And so it's not the other way around. We don't understand it first and then decide to walk in it. We, by faith, walk in his word, and he gives us the understanding that we need there. It's called wondrous works in verse 27. He said, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And before he talks of them, he's going to walk in them there. Look back to verse 18, and you'll see wondrous things. Same Hebrew word as wondrous works. He said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous works out of thy law. And so verse 18 says, I want to behold the wonderful things in your word. And now in verse 27, he says, not only do I want to behold them, I'm going to talk about all the wonderful things in your word. God's word has wonderful things for us. Verse 28, we see the next Hebrew word, melt, or to leak. Oftentimes the word has to do with a roof leaking, and sometimes it has to do with our eyes leaking. When our eyes leak water, it's tears. And that's what the Bible often uses here with a word. He says, my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. God's word will stand. And we stood a while ago to sing it. That's what this word here, strengthen, means. It means to arise and stand. When the heaviness, like that weight of a ship, is on us, we can have strength to stand. But it's not found in ourselves. As verse 28 says, according to thy word. Strengthen me according to thy word. God's word is what we need. God's word is our daily bread. It nourishes us. It strengthens us. It helps us. It teaches us. It guides us. It is the way. And he starts verse 29, the same Hebrew word, with way. I think it's coming. Brother Kim, will you hit the down arrow for me and see if we can get number 29 on there? Derek is used again, verse 29. He says, remove from me the way of lying, that is vanity. It's a path that many people choose, a way of vanity, uselessness, worthlessness. He says, God, remove that way from me and grant me thy law graciously here. And grace comes to us through God's word. We saw that earlier with the loving kindness of God. He says, God, remove lying and give me your law. God's law is opposite of lies, isn't it? This is the truth of the Word of God. Did we get it? Let's see if it works now. Verse 30. Once again, Derek starts the verse. We've seen it four times already in this stanza of eight verses. Obviously, the theme of this stanza is God's path, God's way. For me to know God's way, for me to walk in God's way, for me to love God's way. Verse 30, he says, I've chosen it. I've chosen the way of truth, not the way of lies and deceit that we saw in the previous verse. It's a choice that we make. We don't just accidentally walk in the path of God's righteousness and God's word. It's something that we must choose to do each day. God gives us a will to choose, and we make many choices. consequences are already determined for us many times there. But we want to examine the right path and choose it based on a thorough examination. And that's what this Hebrew word entails. To choose something because you have searched it out, you've examined it, and you know that is the best way to go. And he says here, your judgments I have laid before me. I've looked at God's word, and I've seen it as truth, I've seen it as dependable, I've seen it as trustworthy, and I'm going to choose this way because it's the way God wants me to go. Two more verses. Verse 31, stuck. It is the exact same word as cleaveth. You can see that here. So he says to cling or stick to. In verse 31, I have stuck to thy testimonies. That's faithfulness, isn't it? Just sticking to it. Sometimes it's not easy, but God wants us to stick to his word. And whenever we do, verse 31 says, Lord, put me not to shame. Whenever we don't cleave and stick to God's word and we go astray from it, that's when the shame comes. But whenever we stick to the path that God has for us, the path of his word, there won't be disgrace. There won't be the guilt that comes from not cleaving to his word. May God help us to cleave to his word. And verse 32, it says, I will run the way of thy commandments. Guess what word is first in Hebrew? You probably guessed that one. Derek. Five times in these eight verses, the emphasis, as I said, is on God's way. Now he says, I'm going to run. I'm going to run in God's way. Have you ever traveled through woods down a path where you weren't familiar with it? Especially if it starts getting dark, you kind of have to be a little cautious, don't you? You have to watch where you're walking there. We were doing that a few weeks ago. My brothers and sister were out at some property that my dad has, and he's kind of dividing it up for us out in the country there. And so we were walking it over. I wasn't familiar with it, and this was a few weeks ago when I think the snakes might have still been out. And so we were walking very carefully about where we were going there. But if you get familiar with a path and you know a path and you know it well, you can run it there because you're familiar with it. And here he says in verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. God wants us to know his paths so well that we can run them. And we do that. We run the race by faith. And then he ends this stanza by saying, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Is there a connection with a person's ability to run and his heart? There is, isn't there? If you don't have a very good heart, you're not going to, you run too much and you might wear yourself out. And we run and pace ourselves to strengthen or enlarge our heart. And spiritually, it's the same thing. And that's what he says here. God, I'm going to run in your word. So help me to gain space in my heart, enlarge my heart here so that I can run in your commandments. And so the question for us, does God gain space in our hearts? Does his word have space there? Is our heart enlarged to receive God's word so we can running in his word, that we can be spiritually in shape, so our heart is right with God's word and our feet are running the path of his word. In closing, last week we saw five ministries of the word of God, and we'll review them just quickly. It keeps us from shame, verse 6. God's word cleanses us from sin. God's word keeps us from straying with wrong teachings because his word is truth and it keeps us from deceit and error. And then it keeps us from sin. Number two, it cleanses us. If we do fall into sin, God's word cleanses us. But it will also keep us from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And also it gives satisfaction. Those were in the first two stanzas. And we see two in these next two stanzas. I think it's two. It quickens us. Nine times we see that phrase. God's word gives life. We have life through Christ, who is the living word. And also, it strengthens us, verse 28. It strengthens our way. It strengthens our heart so that we can not only behold God's path, so that we can declare God's path, not only just to walk in His path, but to know it so well that we run the race. As Paul says, I have kept the faith. I've fought a good fight, and help us to run the race faithfully, the race in God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the word of God. We thank You for the stability of life it gives to us. And Lord, understanding Your word is not nearly as much of the problem as obeying Your word. Oftentimes people go to the Bible and they say they have difficulty understanding that. But Lord, as we are obedient to what we do understand, You will reveal more understanding to us. So help us to faithfully run the race according to Your word. Lord, we know in a race if we run and take a shortcut and don't abide by the rules, and we're disqualified. And Lord, we don't want to be disqualified. We want to run according to Your faithful word to us. So help us to know it and to love it and to live it faithfully to the end. In Christ's name, amen.